Well, good morning and welcome to this little preach moment. It's my opportunity and my privilege once again just to be able to speak to you. I have loved Sundays over the course of the period of time we've been in lockdown. I've enjoyed the worship, and I want to thank the team for leading us in great worship. They're not performing to an empty room, but they're ministering to us in our rooms. And I've enjoyed singing along, I've enjoyed worshipping in the seclusion of my office at home, singing as loud as I choose to without being a disturbance or a distraction. As those of you who know what my singing is like, you'd fully agree with that. And also what I've really enjoyed is I've enjoyed the preaching and I've enjoyed the teaching. And I think it's been absolutely brilliant. And this morning I have the opportunity once again just to expand on the subject of crazy faith in crazy times. We have looked at a number of individuals, we've taken certain characteristics from those individuals, and we've endeavoured to deliver a message that we can apply to ourselves, which would make us stronger, more equipped, and more impacting, influential in our everyday lives. This morning is exactly the same as that. I'm going to look at the story of Isaac. It says that by faith, Isaac blessed his sons, blessed their future. And this morning, I would like to spend a few moments on talking about leaving a legacy. But before we do that, we're just going to look at the story of Isaac. You know the story extremely well, or maybe you don't. But this is the first time that you will understand it by the end of my conversation. Isaac was the son of promise to Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah longed to have a child for a number of years. They found it extremely difficult to conceive. And even on one occasion, they tried to fulfill the promise of having a son through another person. And we see how a child was created, a child was born through a relationship that Abraham had with another woman. And we see that Ishmael was born and brought into the scene. But that wasn't the promise that God had spoken to Abraham and spoken to Sarah about. A few years later, we see how Abraham and Sarah have Isaac. And we see that Isaac grows and he begins to develop and becomes a young man. And there comes a time when God begins to speak to Abraham and challenges him and says this to him: I want you to sacrifice your only son. And we see that Abraham, through an act of obedience, begins to step out in faith and begins to go on that journey. And he goes to the mountain called Moriah and begins to take his son with him, and takes his son and with the intention of sacrificing him. Wow, sacrificing the son that God had promised him and Sarah. So on their way, they gather the wood, they gather the flame and the fire, and we see that that they're making their way to this place where Isaac's going to be sacrificed as a sacrifice to God. And Isaac begins to question his dad. Dad, he says, I see the wood and I see the fire, but I don't see the sacrifice. And Abraham looks across to his son. He says, don't worry, son. He says, the Lord will provide. So that they go and they climb the mountain. And when they get to the top of the mountain, we see that they build an altar. We see that Abraham then takes his son and begins to lie him on the altar, begins to tie him down. And his son, Isaac, doesn't wrestle him, doesn't fight against him, but just, in a sense, just goes through the obedience act. And we see this amazing story. And just as Abraham's about to sacrifice his son, this voice from heaven kind of speaks down and says, stop! And points Abraham to look into a bush just adjacent to him, and just offset to one side, there's a ram, there's a lamb, there's a goat, there's this animal there to be the substitute sacrifice instead of Isaac to be sacrificed. What an amazing story that was. And we see this amazing story unfolding, and then we don't necessarily see a great deal of Isaac anymore, and there's not a great deal said about him. But there are some key aspects to his life. We see that he was a man of faithfulness, and we see that he was a man of obedience. Some great attractions there, some great attractive characteristics that would be really great for us to learn from and to follow suit with. But in Hebrews chapter 11, the one verse which begins to describe this individual called Isaac, it says this: by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regards to their future. I like to say this, that crazy faith in crazy times, crazy faith leaves a legacy for the generations to come. If you don't hear anything else I say this morning, just allow that one sentence to take some root in your heart and your thinking this morning. Crazy faith leaves a legacy for the generations to come. Every individual in Hebrews chapter 11 left a legacy for the next generation, left a legacy for them to embrace, for them to have a better start than the previous generation. You see, a legacy, according to the dictionary, a legacy is a gift of property. A legacy can be either in the form of property or money or a bequest. Another definition of the word legacy is something which is handed down from the past or a previous generation. A legacy is something that an individual leaves, puts into place for the future generation. A legacy can be something which is their accomplishment. But what's really helped me to wrestle with this and to underline it for me this morning is simply this: a legacy is something that a person leaves behind to be remembered by. It's a pathway. It's something worth holding on to. And Isaac, after all of his living, he blessed his sons regarding their future. You see, Isaac left a legacy. And I'd like to throw the challenge out to us this morning about this word legacy, because I think it will help us. It really will. You see, you don't leave a legacy by accident. To leave a legacy, you and I have to be intentional. If we think we're going to leave a legacy by accident, by sheer chance, or by fluke, we will fail. And instead of leaving a legacy or an inheritance, we could possibly leave a debt to the next generation. We could overlook things. So I want to ask you to consider being intentional, being purposeful, making a resolve of your heart which says this: I'm going to live my life in such a way that when I'm gone, I will pass something on to the next generation which is worth taking on and worth passing on. It's a legacy. How can we leave a legacy? Well, the second little thing this morning is simply this: that you and I can leave a legacy because we can set an example in the way we live life now. I think we have a generation, a community, a society that are looking for exemplary living. I think we need to set an example when it comes to faith, hope, and love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13 describes that. It says, and these three things will remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest out of all of those three things is love. Come on, church. Come on, listener. I want you to leave a legacy by setting an example on how you are living your life. You see, it's recorded in one of the stories in the Bible that Jesus told. It records this, that it was time to allow your light to shine. A great character, a quirky character, The cousin of Jesus, John the Baptist, it says this when he described his life. He says, I'm a voice in the wilderness and I'm preparing, I'm making a way. Leaving a legacy for the next generation is that we create pathways for the next generation. You see, your life, my life, will either make a way or it will get in the way. You choose which you choose to be. Paul, church planter, but before he was a church planter, he went around brutalizing, persecuting those that would say they're Christians. But he wrote a letter to a young guy called Timothy. This young guy called Timothy was an apprentice preacher. He was learning the trade. He was learning to be a communicator and learning to be an exhorter. And what we see in this life of Paul, he writes to Timothy and he says, I want you, despite your age and despite your immaturity, I want you to set an example. What was he saying? He was saying this, Timothy, you have an opportunity, you have one life. And your one life is to set an example and to leave a legacy for those that will follow you. You see, he was told to set an example in what he said. He was told to set an example in the way he was to live. And he was told to set an example in love, in faith, and in impurity. You see, when you leave a legacy, you live in a way that is worth following and worth imitating and worth copying. And I trust that my lifestyle, my way of living is a legacy for my children and for my grandchildren. I trust the way I choose to live is an example to the congregation called Riviera Life Church. I trust that the way I live and the way that Jackie lives leaves a legacy and not a debt. Leaving a legacy, the third point around this little thought is simply this. Legacy blesses generations. I'm not just living my life to be a blessing to my generation, but I am living my life to be a blessing to my children's generation, and I'm also living my life to be a blessing to my children's children's generation. I love that little thought as I allowed my mind just to wander a little bit, because it talks in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, it talks about being a blessing to your children's children. You see, I have received a legacy from my mother and my father through the way that they've lived their life and they've conducted their lives, and it was worth embracing. I then have lived my life and continue to live my life, and I now want to hand something on to my children, who then in turn will hand things on to their children. You see, I have the responsibility of receiving from my father and my mother. I have the responsibility of now living it out in my life, and I also have the responsibility of passing it on to the next generation. You see, I can either value what I've been handed, or I can squander what I've been handed. Character, a bit of a warrior, a war warrior in the stories of the Old Testament. A guy called Joshua inherits the leadership and the mantle from Moses. And Joshua says this after coming towards the end of his death. He says, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Legacy. Can you see where I'm coming from on this? It's legacy. But after the death of Joshua, it says this, that there was a whole generation, a whole group of people that knew nothing of God and the Lord and knew nothing of the things that God had done for the previous generations. That's not handing on a legacy. Handing on a legacy is sharing the great exploits, sharing the great stories of what God's done in you and through you to enhance and to bless the next generation. Let's not usher in a generation that know nothing of God, but let's usher in a generation that get excited by what God has done for you and for me. But I can hear some of you saying, it's okay for you, Ian. You were brought up in a Christian home. It's okay for you. You know, you've got a great mum and a great dad. It's okay for you. You've got a great wife and a great family. It's okay for you, Ian, because even Jackie's side of the family, that they were all involved in church and have this wonderful kind of historical kind of faith. It's okay for you. If you only knew my line of lineage, I have not been granted or given anything of a legacy. Maybe so. But you can be the start of a new line. And you can be the start of receiving something from God and passing it on to the next generation. You see, don't blame your past. Create something new. I really believe, as I was praying into this, and I felt the Holy Spirit just talked to me about this, and I felt the Holy Spirit say this to me, and I wrote it down here, and it's in red, so it's very important. A ruined legacy can be redeemed. I'm going to repeat that. A ruined legacy can be redeemed. And maybe you're saying that the legacy that was given to me as a child, as a person as I am now, it has been ruined. It was ruined. But we serve a God who can redeem that which was ruined. We serve a God who can restore the stuff that's gone wrong. You see, maybe the legacy you were handed was messed up. Maybe it was broken. Maybe, as far as you're concerned, it was failure. But we serve a God who can restore and redeem. You see, God has the ability to restore even a broken legacy. He can. So it's not just okay for me, it's okay for all of us. And my final little thought this morning, Jacob blessed his sons concerning their future. I want to throw the challenge out to us today that we leave something worth leaving. That we don't leave a debt for the next generation to pick up on, but we leave something worth leaving. Once again, that Bible planter, that church planter called Paul, who went around the whole of biblical kind of geographics and areas and planted churches, we see that towards the end of his life, he used terminology such as this. He says, my life is drawing to an end, but I've poured out my life as a drink offering. That was the language that Paul used. He was saying, hey, I've lived my life to the full. Okay, I didn't get it all right. I made some mistakes in my early stages, but I rectified that. I had an encounter with God, and that encounter changed my life. And then I went about doing God stuff. He said, I've lived my life in a way where I've just poured it out as an offering. Everything Paul did within his life left a legacy and didn't leave a debt. And this morning, in the framework of this video, as you sit listening to it, I want you to make a decision in your heart today that you are going to leave a legacy to the next generation. What does it look like? What's the shape of it? What's the size of it? Hey, come on, leave something worth having and worth embracing, because we have been blessed, so we then in turn can be a blessing. Jacob blessed his sons concerning their future, and we can do exactly the same. I choose today to be that legacy lever and legacy builder, wanting the best for my children and my children's children. God bless you this morning. As we bring our time to a conclusion, I want to give opportunity to anyone who may be tuning in for the very first time this morning. You've heard about Riviera Life Church. Maybe it was a neighbor. Maybe it was just something which popped up on your Facebook or even on your YouTube channels, whatever it may be. But you've said, I'm going to spend a few moments just listening in. And as you've been listening in, you've realized that what we've sung about, what we've shared, is about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, I'd like to give you opportunity for you to put your life in order with your Creator. And in the seclusion and the privacy of your own home, I'd ask you, out of a sense of reverence, just to bow your head and to close your eyes. And we're going to pray a prayer which is called the Prayer of Salvation, and give you opportunity to say, "Yes, God, I want to give my life to you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity of putting right things that are wrong. And I thank you that you gave the ultimate legacy to this earth. You gave your Son to die upon a cross for me and for mankind. And because of his actions and because of his deeds, we can receive. As we ask for forgiveness, we can receive eternal, everlasting life with you. Not living in condemnation, but living in forgiveness. So today, I give my life to you. Amen. I'd like to give you an opportunity to respond to that. It's very difficult to kind of say, raise your hand and indicate that you've made a decision this morning to become a Christian, because I haven't got the ability to look through the lens of this camera and to count those who are making a decision today. But I do want to give you an opportunity to respond, and I'd love you to send an email to info@rivieralife.co.uk. And if you can do that simply by saying, "Ian, today I made a decision for Christ," or I made a recommitment to Christ, I'd love to respond to you. I promise you, as you email me, I will respond to you personally on that. Or even go to the Facebook pages of the church, or go onto Ian Derek Williams' Facebook page and send a personal message, and I will respond to you. I'll pray for you, and I will look forward to connecting with you over the course of this next 7 days. So, church, it's been a great morning again. Great worship, great storytelling. And I trust that what I shared this morning has also been great. If not, don't complain. I'll get better next time. So have a great day and enjoy the rest of your time with your family. Be blessed.